All right, 086 60 25,000 is the WhatsApp and text number. 086 60 25,000. Give us a call too on 074 91 25,000. It is the 9 till noon show here on Highland Radio. We're into the last hour, and it's a busy one. So please stay tuned for that. Right, okay, let's welcome on to the programme our next guest, who is Brendan Devenny. Hi, Brendan.
All right, Greg.
How are you getting on, buddy? I haven't seen you in ages.
What about you, lad?
You all right?
Listen, it's just between holidays and different things, Greg, we've missed each other. There was a bank holiday in there as well, so yeah, it's been a while.
I was talking to a guest a little earlier on, and we were talking about, you know, she's trying to raise awareness and what have you as it relates to... you know, the plight of many in Africa. And I mentioned you, and it put me in mind of you, that, and I said, and I hope I didn't misquote you, you know, I know you've supported charities over there, but it's actually until you actually go over there and see for yourself, A, the situation people are living in, but B, the impact, you know, people's donations have, that the penny really, really drops as to how serious the situation is for many.
Yeah, I suppose, you see a lot on TV. It's hard to maybe get your head around, and everybody's got different ways of looking at it. Probably impacts people in different ways. Just the way I think we are, we're all made up different. So I would always find it hard, Greg, you know, you see the things coming on, the ads on TV, or you see different things. I can't kind of shut my brain off to that kind of stuff. Yeah. So listen, just getting involved with Plan, sponsoring kids, we're sponsoring 23 at the minute. And I suppose with them, in terms of the €22 and that, and the wee ways we were looking to raise the money, and just change a life bit by bit. I find that people sometimes give to charity or give to things, it's very hard to know where that goes or what its impact is. Whereas I like the idea of, you know, you were helping a wee child and it would help them through, you know, their education, obviously nutrition first and safety and early childhood marriage and all those type of things. So it was nice to see, and you'll get a pack and then you get updates and you see that young person growing. And I guess to see what was happening at the end, you know, what really was the outcome of it, is why I liked the idea of the plan in particular. And of course, through the charity balls, and we helped another 5 charities as well, not just Plan. So it was nice to be involved in something like that. Mm. It takes a lot out of you, to be honest, Greg. They're tough work, don't get me wrong, but I suppose it's nice to be able to help. And of course,
well, you also expose yourself to the reality of it, which can, you know, it can affect you as well. You know, a lot of us, our protection mechanism is to sort of pretend stuff isn't happening. And it is literally, it's not because we're selfish or horrible. It's actually just, you know, can I really deal with some of the awful stuff that's going on in the world? Anyway, listen, thanks for that, for your insight as well, Brennan. I just mentioned you by name earlier, and I thought it important to just run that past you. Right. A weather-disrupted weekend of club championship action, Brendan. What stuck out for you?
Yeah, it was blustery stuff, Greg. Listen, we were in the park with Gidor. It wasn't the best of games, you know. Club football, I don't know, Greg, listen, where it's at now. No, don't get me wrong, there's still be decent games in there from time to time, but some of them can be very tactical. You know, I would find that hard to watch if I was sitting in the stands. But it was a big victory for Gidor. So what do you do, Greg?
They're too tactical, I don't think that's what you would say if we were sitting in a pub having a pint. What do you mean by that?
Well, listen, there's a way I think our Gaelic games need to be played to a point. I have no problem with people being defensive and, you know, defending leads. But if the main mantra of the game is defence first, so 15 inside the 45, you know, I can't see how that's kind of... It's not football to me anymore. No. It stops being a game of football in terms of, right, you've got, you know, you've got your different lines. For a start, you have a forward and a defence, but you don't really then. You have a full defence and then you're breaking. But listen, like, loads of teams are doing that. It happens quite a lot. I mean, if you even look at All-Ireland final this year, I mean, in many ways, Armagh was set up like that, Galway a bit. But my problem in that, Greg, is depending on how far you take it, if you take it all the way, it just really kills it as any kind of game of football. But then again, people say, listen, we had to win the match, it was more important. So you've always got the counter argument. The only thing's going to save it, Greg, I was sent a big email last week with the proposed rule changes, that, you know, there's loads of them in there, that it can't be played like that. And I think while it's left open to be played like that, people are going to play it that way. And you can see I mean, for Goodour, for example, coming up and beating St Junans by a point at the weekend, you could say, right, it suited them on the day. But just it stops being what you call a game of football. And that, I think, is where the game, you know, is in a bad place. So the quicker the rule changes come in, I think the better around it, still keeping some semblance of what you call a game of football.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not we're not going to come out of it, I think, with coaches changing their attitudes, are we? It is going to actually have to be some sort of a rule change, at least in the interim, yeah, just to try and get the game back to,
see,
to
works,
what we've... What,
right. The
to,
problem is, yeah, it works, right?
Yeah,
so
it.
Here's the thing. Yeah, if it works, so what it goes back to again was, how much do you need to win that match? So is it won at all costs? If it is, then if we go here and if we say to our players, right, we're going to play this way to win a match, then the issue is, the only thing that will change it in is a rule change. And, you know, so you're in that kind of conundrum of how much do you want to win the game versus how much do you want to play football? And while that's left to coaches, yeah, you're going to get games like that, you know. And that's it. At the weekend, obviously, Glenfully and St. Michael's are sitting 3-3. They're happy out. By the sounds of things, Oisin rang me after the game. He was buzzing coming away from that match. It was a brilliant game. So it's not to say, Oisin or Greg, this is happening. You know, different games, different teams have to do tactics. And I can actually understand why some of them do it. But then you'll have a game like that, sounded like a brilliant end-to-end. And you know, even with the conditions, 272-9, four matches are 7 points up. At a stage, missed a penalty, and Michael Murphy, you know, 1-5, and so there was a lot of talking points from that. There after that, you've 7 sides now and 4 points, you've 3-2, and if you've 4 teams yet to get off the mark. That said, 2 of them obviously had a game postponed at the weekend. That was Killybegs and St. Noel. So listen, going into the last game, Greg. Listen, everybody still has something to play for, and I guess while people are questioning the club championship and where it's at in terms of the teams and the format of it, that's probably what we want. We want everybody coming in with trying to at least, you know, I suppose the teams at the bottom get out of that relegation playoff. And then,
you know, the now obviously it's a completely different animal, but you know the way the this year has lifted our sporting spirits on a county level. It is not impossible that, you know, we want to see the passion and interest to be reignited at club level. Now, I know it's big deal for individual parishes and what have you, right? But if there is this sense that it's a bit negative and it's a bit low scoring and, you know, a game that is end-to-end stands out like, you know, a sore thumb, we're not doing it right. It's not good for the game in the long haul. And eventually that trickles up, doesn't it, to who's available and the quality of footballer we get at inter-county level.
Yeah, I guess, and there is versions of it out there. Greg, as I said, if the version goes all the way, and I think anybody knows football knows what I'm talking about, if it goes to that level, it does kill the game. Like if you said to me, as a neutral or as anybody, would I want to watch that game from the weekend in a Donald Park? Not a chance. I mean, if it was in the back garden, I wouldn't look out the window at it. So that's the level of where the game is at. But if you in the counter, if you're from the other side,
but why? Are you saying the opposition spoiled the game and St Union's couldn't play the way that you wanted them to play?
Well, see, everybody's playing a version of counter-attack. Like everybody's doing it.
So there's no way around it then. So St Union's couldn't align out or played in a way to break that down?
Well, that's the job that you have to do.
Yeah.
St Union's were pretty poor at that. Played pretty poorly on the day as well. We're missing a few players, but played pretty poorly.
But the defensive system is so effective. It's very difficult.
If you look at it, Greg, Unions have won, beat Kilkerr and beat Neve Connell. Now, in both those games, teams were playing semi kind of defensive.
Open, right? Yeah.
So there wasn't kind of the full lockdown. Once it goes to that full lockdown, that is difficult to play against, particularly in a kind of wet, blustery day. So it just depends how far teams are going to go with that. And if it goes all the way, then, and loads of teams are out of it, it's happening everywhere. It's not to say that it's a one-off. It happens all the time.
No, I
it
get
just
that.
Depends
yeah.
How, yeah. It just depends how far it goes. If it goes to the full extremities of counter-attack, it really, the game as a spectacle is over. Now, I'm just talking about from a neutral perspective. As I said, if you're talking about that game in particular, that was a huge game for the Giro to come and win. So they'll say, here, listen, we had to do that.
Yeah, you do what
so
you do.
That's
have
why
to
I'm
do.
Saying
yeah.
without rules being changed on it, you're always going to get teams that.
And you
feel
said it
that,
at the beginning
to do
because it works. Because it works. Yeah, that's right at the start. Yeah,
this is it.
All right, there's loads of action right across the various divisions. Pádraig Hilferty, Brendan Kilcoyne, Dara Boner of the Donegal News, they're on hand to look at some of the big talking points from the weekend. More free scoring, it seems, sometimes in the LGFA, the club championship, a busy programme of games there as well. Maureen O'Donnell will be joining you, Brendan, to go through those fixtures and results.
Yeah, yeah, she is. Always great to have Mo on, and if the lads up as well, they'll be all up in studio. So we'll run across all the championships, try and pack it all in, because we have to actually talk a bit about the hurling as well. It's hurling finals weekend in the Donald Park this Saturday, the three hurling finals on junior, intermediate and senior. And of course, the big one being Setanta and Burt. They had a clash earlier in the group stages, and Burt actually raced under a bit of a lead, gave Setanta a bit of a scare. Of course, Setanta, Ulster champions and all, Greg, so they are the standard bearers there. So those games are all coming up on Saturday, and it's great with a free week that there's no football on. We can give hurling its full attention next week, particularly in the show.
And it is going to be a busy show, as mentioned. Listen, Brendan, thank you very much for that. I appreciate it, as always.
Cheers, Greg.
Take care of yourself. That's Brendan Devaney there. So Pádraig Hilferty, Brendan Kilcoyne, Dara Boner, they'll all be joining Brendan to run through the talking points from the men's side of the championship. Maureen O'Donnell will be on the show as well, looking back at the LGFA Club Championship and previewing finals week in the hurling next week as well. That's a packed show. It starts at 7 p.m. You can listen to it on the radio. You can also watch it on our social medias and podcast it and listen to it when it suits you. It'll be live on our website, highlandradio.com, shortly after broadcast. Hey, a big thank you to those of you who so generously donated this morning to help us support Cancer Care West Letterkenny. We're going to be linking into this show as we do a walk in beautiful Ards next Monday. And we as a collective would love to be able to present a generous donation on behalf of us all here, the family of the 9 till noon show, and that's you, of course, I'm including in that. So I really do appreciate it. If you weren't listening a little earlier on, you can donate to Cancer Care West. All the money goes directly to it. It is on idonate.ie/Greg Hughes. If you prefer, you can give us a call here just whilst we're on air and we can donate. We can run that through. Or if you want to drop something up to us, feel free to do so as well. And all of the money on behalf of the 9 to Noon Show family goes to Cancer Care West. We'll tell you more about that a little later on in the week. But thank you so much for boosting the pot. And it's going to be a little significant sum. It's not going to be 40 grand or something, but it's not going to be insignificant either. So really, really appreciate all of your generosity. Pedestrian crossings in Twin Towns give the impression of a temporary trial arrangement that has become permanent. Pedestrians don't have confidence to walk across and often delay until traffic has stopped. Some drivers question the legality in the absence of a flashing amber light. Local and regular drivers, walkers more familiar with them. No serious incidents yet, but better signage required urgently. And that's going up today, isn't it? Hi, Greg. With the French arrest of Telegram CEO Pavel Durov at a Paris airport, the EU has officially become a censorship disinformation democracy, and there's no longer any need to keep up the EU's pretense of accusing the far right and others of engaging in disinformation when the EU itself only wants half-truths to be disclosed and not the full truth. That comes in from Raymond. Well, Raymond, I mean, the far right disinformation, the far left, is there's plenty of disinformation there. The MMS, the mainstream media, MSM, there's plenty of disinformation there as well. It's in all quarters, but I take your point and I appreciate your input. Good morning, Greg. Listening to that poor girl who will be homeless with her child, unfortunately, a lot of landlords are using excuses that they need their homes for family, etc. But because the government is paying a lot more rent to house immigrants, migrants, asylum seekers, Ukrainians, they then rent the house to them. It's happening in a housing estate beside me. The same situation is happening all around the country, and yet this child and mother are being left homeless. Thank you. I'm not sure of the rates that are paid to house people in these properties or what the income from these properties can be now. It's just not something I've come across. Is that a factor? I mean, maybe somewhere in the know who is a landlord and if they wish to remain anonymous can let us know, like, is there more money to be had than in the private rental market or what might have, what you might what have you? That room's empty now, Caroline, by the way. I think she knows that anyway. I read over the weekend, Greg, that a person was caught doing 172 kilometres per hour and just got a €200 fine. I was recently caught speeding what I thought was 80, but it was in fact 60. I've never had a speeding fine or points in my life. With young people getting off with this type of speed, it's no wonder we've such carnage on our roads, believes a listener. Can we have Deputy Mark McSharry to discuss the favouritism for Ukrainians over Irish people in the back-to-work schemes? It's discrimination at the highest level. Why are Ukrainians being given preferential treatment over Irish people when accessing community employment schemes? I'm not familiar with that. Certainly no individuals or groups should be treated better than others. So that's always going to cause a problem. Oxygen gives us clean air, says a listener. To achieve this, we need to grow more trees. Why is no one talking about this? Well, everyone's talking about it in Europe anyway. There's big emphasis on trying to get farmers, for an example, to diversify and plant trees on their land, and the government does have targets in that regard. So everyone ain't talking about it, but certainly there is a push on it to try and get more trees in Ireland. Well done to Rosa, acknowledging the working family who are in most need of help. They do not get the handouts that some receive on a regular basis. The school year is only 182 days max, primary per year. Passing on wearable uniforms is a great idea. Uniform allowance can go a long way nowadays with low cost of uniforms. Working families should get the same support. Yeah, indeed. Now, just before we go, I'm not going anywhere. Have you played Vision Ireland Radio Bingo? Lots of you do. We had a massive winner there a couple of weeks ago. Some great pictures on social media. And also we had a great interview with the lady on this show. Why not try your luck and join in helping Vision Ireland raise some needed funds? The books are just €5 for a single, €10 for a double. They're available at retail outlets right across the Northwest, here at Highland Radio and on the Highland Radio outlet page. And it is one of the key funders, the key supports for Vision Ireland. It's incredibly valuable to them. So you're having a bit of fun. You're playing well within your means, of course, and you could win money. Lots of people do win money, including 14 grand. The recent jackpot winning book sold in the Colt Falcara. But that's not it. Maybe we should make more of it. Maybe that's what we're doing right now. €1,400 was won in Blaney's and Kerrykeel. €1,000 was won at Alexander's Ballybuffet and Marley's Clohan. That's €2,000. €400 was won on a book in Kernan's, Newtown, Cunningham, Centra, Clonmany and Boyce's in Carrigart. A number of €400 winners there. And we also had €200 winners in Clark's, Letterkenny, Lag, Milford. So there you go. Plenty of opportunities for you to win. So buy your books, support Vision Ireland. In that regard. Right, what was I going to mention to you? I was going to get to this comment here. Cars arriving, this is as it relates to that road situation in Ballybuffet. Cars arriving at the bank corner from Glenfinn Street have to stop before moving on to Main Street and therefore should be aware if someone is using the crossing. Too many drivers, including lorry and bus drivers, don't know how to use the yellow box correctly, and this causes traffic jams and frustration to other drivers trying to get down Glenfinn Street off Main Street. And too many drivers dog-eared the crossing, clear to use when the traffic is heavy. The crossings are still a great idea, but drivers and pedestrians need to use them properly and safely. Again, slow down, drivers, and I really appreciate your email. And, you are correct, but the bottom line is that if you make something that is a little out of the ordinary and there's lots of traffic that's not just local, you have a problem. I mean, that is a problem. And if you are coming down Glenfinn Street and you are turning left, you have traffic flying down, whether it should slow down or not, but it flies down from the right. You're looking at that and then someone can just step out into the zebra crossing, you pull off, and before you know it, you're on top of them. And that's a reality and it shouldn't be that complicated. That is the problem, you see. But anyway, it is what it is, and we'll see if anything changes there. If you want to comment on that, 086 60 25,000. Right, on this morning's Monday Focus, we talked to Robert Whelan. He's Managing Director of Rockwall Financial Management. And we're going to talk about the best ways to avoid the pitfalls that can hinder a lot of inheritances and hold up the dissolution of assets through everyday families. We see houses falling into rack and ruin only because there's a problem with someone's will, or perhaps the absence of a will at all, which is even worse and can delay things for years, especially in and around farms and farmhouses. Robert, a very good morning to you. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning to you, Greg. Delighted to be here.
Now we have a legal slot on the show. It's once a month with the great Seamus Gunn, and I would say probably of a factor 3 or 4 to 1, the questions are based on wills, inheritance, the process, how wills are processed, and all that type of stuff. A lot of that can't be avoided, but can much of it be avoided if we try and get our ducks in a row whilst we are still alive and capable to do so?
Well, yes, absolutely. But the first step is obviously making a will. So you can't avoid any mess if you haven't got the piece of paper at the start of it all that deals with it, okay? Unless you can come back from the dead and write a will. And if you can figure that out, you'll have another selling idea. But from our perspective, it's about just planning. And for instance, if you're in a situation whereby you have assets of any description, okay, and you feel that you'd like to pass them on, paying as little tax as possible to the next generation, well, then there are certain schemes, certain thresholds that you can use. The main one that everyone is aware of, but no one knows how it works, is the annual gift exemption, which means we can all give everybody $3,000 a year tax-free. So it would be common for grandparents to grandkids, maybe who'd like to top it up, maybe it's $250 a month into a savings plan, whether it's an annual thing, whatever it is. But it's a great way of passing wealth on. And even wealth is in terms of, can be a dirty word sometimes, but just your money. If I just described it as your money rather than the government's money, right? So passing your money on to the next generation in as tax efficient a manner as possible.
Because of course, many people have worked all of their life to accumulate that. And that's what's left to them after they've paid their tax already. So you want to do anything you can, of course, not to water that down or dilute that, be it, you know, cash or property.
Absolutely. And I suppose property is the main one, because most of us, that's the main source of whatever few bob we're worth. That's the main source of it. So you'll see that there's a lot of chat now coming up with the government going to change inheritance tax thresholds in the budget. So it's currently €335,000 can be gifted from a parent to a child. And there's rumours they're going to increase that to €400,000. Now, I would say to you that that's a Dublin initiative. The average house price in Donegal is a little over €225,000. So it's not as if, do you know what I mean, that's going to cause a huge...
It's not a game changer for us, yeah.
Absolutely not. So let's be candid about the political motives of it. However, there are still situations whereby people may find themselves inheriting a house above that value. And if they want to avoid tax, there are other ways. Like, one of the things I would draw people's attention to, and it's something I've seen lately, is people who find themselves moving back into the home to care for a relative. You can see with family. Say you've got a couple of kids in a family, and one of them will say, well, it's usually a single person, let's be honest, right? And they'll move back in. Or maybe they've got a family, but if they don't already own a house, they can move back into the family home. Once they're living in it for 3 years before the person who's gifting it dies, and they don't own any other property, they can inherit that house tax-free. So even if the house is worth £1 million. So to give you an example, if I'm single, right, or I'm married, it doesn't matter actually, but I don't already own a property, and I move back in with my mother, and let's just say to look after her, and let's just say that she dies 4 years after I move in. As long as I'm 3 years there before she dies, and I keep the house for 6 years after, so 9 years in total, I own that house tax-free. So it's very, this is particularly for farming, and it's particularly useful for anyone from a farming background in terms of passing on family assets there. But there are options for people, but it comes to everything, and your legal advisor, everyone will say the same thing. Getting advice as early as possible is the smartest thing.
But just in relation to that, and the system is set up as such, like, people might... That's a very specific example, right? So you move in with your mom, and very sadly she passes away, and then you don't sell it for 6 years. Now, what people might do is create a scenario that appears like that.
Yeah.
To avoid the tax.
I don't disagree.
You know.
But it's there. You're right. But I suppose...
But that, I think that's a fault of the system. That's a fault of the setup.
Oh, yeah. I don't disagree. I'm not right. I'm saying all of this is available on revenue.ie.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We're not here to sort of try and work the system. But if you set it up like that, I'm thinking, if I were in that situation, right, how do I make this work for me? And Mum will be complicit in it too, because she doesn't want to see me facing a massive bill on her sad passing.
True, but I suppose if we come back to the basis of it, there's no way revenue signed off on this as a way to, let's just say, facilitate tax avoidance. What it is there for is specifically for that example, whereby someone wants to remain in the home, wants to have their family care for them, and you don't want to have, for that part, say you could be living with mum 10 years, forget about the three, and they made an enormous sacrifice, and then they're faced with the prospect of moving out of their family home because they've got a tax liability of a couple of €100,000. So that's the premise behind it, really. Let's be honest about it. But if we come back away from the whole premise of what inheritance tax is, like, it's about taxing that piece of money that we haven't yet gifted or spent ourselves. So if you want to reduce any potential tax liability to the next generation, you have the annual gift exemption, which is $3,000 a year. There are insurance policies that people can take out if they're worried about it. But again, I always say tax is a rich person's problem. So if you find yourself paying tax, it's because you're over the threshold of €335,000 today. So,
and people have found, and as I say, it comes into the show all the time, people, it creates a great deal of anxiety for older people who should be just chilling and relaxing. But people can face a bill, a huge bill. They don't have any money, really, you know, no spare money, no spare cash, perhaps can't borrow. And they're gifted something which is the gift of debt, effectively. I mean, obviously there is an asset there and you can always, you know, sell that asset and what have you. But why should you have to sell a family home to meet a bill that's effectively been gifted to you?
I agree. And I can give you from a lesson from the Celtic Tiger. A client of mine, brother died, left him shares. His brother died it was late summer 2007. By the time he got the shares, it was 2009. The value of the shares had decreased by 60%. Revenue deemed the value of the shares on the date of death.
Oh, wow.
So he paid tax on basically, say, a price of 100, when at the price of the time was 40. So the system, and that's a fact, and he had to borrow the money to pay it. He couldn't even sell the bloody shares.
Yeah.
So it's about planning in advance for these things is the only way. You can't mitigate every risk by any means.
Of course not.
Planning in advance as much as possible will certainly reduce the risk.
I mean, I've heard of accidental landlords. That's the first example of an accidental investor that I've heard of, but that's effectively what happened there.
That's a great point.
And also to, like, we're very big on home ownership in this country, and it seems by either accident or design that's changing, because home ownership is so far out of the reach of many of the current generation and those following behind them. But this comes up more and more in Ireland, because we are more likely, certainly that my generation and those before me and a couple after me, to own a home. So it's not unique to Ireland, but it's more likely something we'll have to contend with.
Absolutely, yeah, and we are, and there's nothing wrong with people wanting to own a home, you know, let's be honest with that too. So but as I said, the current thresholds, and I'm very conscious of the audience I'm speaking to here, okay, this isn't a Dublin 4 audience, so where the average house price is 900,000. So for the vast majority of your listeners, they're coming in at an average house price of 230,000, where the threshold is 335. So they may be looking to this going, if the government is going to do X, Y, or Z, I don't think this is really going to do a whole pile for me and my family. You know what I mean? Let's be honest about that. But at the same time, there are people who will be listening to this who do have homes in excess of that value and will have to consider the consequences.
Look, of course, a company like yours, Rockwell Financial Management, and others are there to help, I'm sure. But I mean, given the fact that changes to inheritance thresholds are probably not going to affect us greatly, it's probably 2 or 3%. What tips can you give us, maybe top three tips right now, to if people are sitting on assets and they know they're eventually going to pass down to loved ones, what's the top three tips? I know you've mentioned a couple of them, but just as a sort of a bookend.
Yeah, absolutely. Number one, take advantage of the annual gift exemption. The amount of, I always say to my own clients, if you're planning on gifting money, where possible, I always say it's better to get a hug than a tap on the gravestone, which means that if you can get the physical gratitude of saying, well, I helped pay for their college fees or gave them a few quid, but don't do it at your own detriment. So if you have a few spare quid and you're going, I could give €1,000 a year to someone, well, do it. At least you can say, well, I gave them that, right? That's the first thing. So take advantage of the annual gift exemption. The second thing is make a will. And I'm 47. The amount of people I meet at my age haven't made a will yet, and it's crazy. Absolutely make a will. Particularly, it's nothing to do with finances, but particularly around the care of the children. That's a huge part of making a will. And the third thing is that don't be afraid to spend your own money. Okay, so if you don't, it's your money, as you, we both agree.
I agree with that one. That was the advice I gave my, that's the advice I gave, not that they listened to me, my mum and dad. I don't need it. I mean, I would love it, but listen, we've never had massive wealth in the family. But I was like, please, whatever money you think you have, don't be trying to bank it and divvy it out. Go and spend 3 months of the year in Portugal. Enjoy it, because that's where I would have derived the pleasure. Yeah. I think that's a brilliant piece of advice. Don't be afraid to spend your own money, Robert.
Not at all.
Stuff the wee ones. They can look after themselves.
Exactly.
All right, Robert. Listen, best of luck. Thanks so much for your time. And I'll remind people how they can get in touch with the likes of your company. I appreciate it. Robert Whelan, Managing Director of Rockwell Financial Management. Google them if you want that kind of, I suppose it's like down-to-earth advice. Right, okay. Just last mention of this today. The annual Donegal Camino is taking place again this year to raise funds for Cancer Care West Donegal in Letterkenny. I'm going to be participating in day two of the Ards Forest Park Walk on Monday the 2nd of September. We're going to be feeding into this show, doing a few interviews, having a bit of crack. So please give what you can and support this great cause in Donegal. And we can donate as a family to Cancer Care West. idonate.ie/Greg Hughes will get you to the page. If you're unable to donate online, you can call up to the station on 07491 25000, and one of the team will be able to help you with payment. Be really appreciated, please, so we can help. Okay, back to Battle Buffet. If there's any confusion there, happy to clear it up. Councillor Patrick McGowan joins us on the show now. I suppose, Councillor, you're of the view that we already cleared this up, but sure, look, it, we'll go at it again.
No, just listening to a lot of people getting annoyed all morning there, like, but that information was put out there very, very clearly to Hayden Radio and everybody else now, both last January and the end of that, January and then at the end of March. So basically, nothing has changed on that. The situation is what they said it was, that as an interim, they're bringing in these big red and white poles with the foot up and have signs now on them. The next stage then is that when they're talking about carrying out feasibility and consultation, they're doing that among themselves to begin with. This is nationally, all over the country. It's just Cork, Dublin. They're looking at these HVCs, what they talk about in Balbuffet. The three they put on are completely different in three different locations, Cork, Dublin, Balbuffet. The other two locations got signage originally. So they're talking about this in the National Roads Authority and Designs Office. They are coming now after these signage were erected. It said now that they will come back now and look at the ones in Balbuffet. Now, the one thing that they said at that stage, and there's no reason to believe anything changed, is the one that the Bank of Ireland will be changing.
And we'll focus on that one because obviously, Patrick, that's the one that's controversial. But you can understand after we talked in March about public consultation and the possibility of moving that, you can understand how locals and people who use that road all of a sudden go, right, okay, they've dug holes here, they've erected signage here for this crossing at the Bank of Ireland here. That looks like it's a permanent fixture. You're still very much of the opinion that that is going to be moved closer, maybe down towards Alexander's, for an example.
Yeah, look, this, what I'm telling you is this is what they said they would do. It's very clear. I have two or three statements here. This is exactly what they said they were doing. They're doing. They're going to erect signage on the existing crossings, whether in the right place or the wrong place. They're going to erect them. Then, during this year, following national consultation, they're going to come back and then they'll have local consultation here. And part of that, and that's been mentioned, it has been highlighted and mentioned as the one at the Bank of Ireland. That has to be moved. Everybody knows it has to be moved. It's just too near a junction. Now, they do actually highlight, even in that statement at the time, and we did discuss it with some of the engineers, that once they move that from the Bank of Ireland, they move it down the street slightly. That will cause some parking spaces because you have to move the footpath out to the edge of the road, you know. So, but look, that's their intention anyway. The signs are temporary. They're welcome, but not the signs, the big red and white poles and the flashing signs. But they're correct. The lighting in Balfour is desperate. And I actually contacted them there this morning straight away with an email and said, actually, you should have the signs up back to back. So when you come down the main street in Stornoway, not only should you see the sign that's in front of you, the one that's a crossroads facing all the way, that should have a sign in the
that's
back.
That's right, because so of parking, because signs. Of parking, that sign heading up street is obscured.
vans, you're driving down the street, you have big vans in front of you, they move away. The next thing somebody's, look, it's happening every day of the week. The biggest problem in Balfour St Arthur, and I know some other councillors are on from Councillor McClafferty and anything else is right, is people just walk straight out in the middle of the road. My understanding is then and now that any accidents in Balfour St Arthur crossings, people crossing at all crossings,
right,
have been told there's been no accidents since these.
There's no accidents, right. So just to be clear, because I'm a little bit unclear, and obviously you've been back and forwards with TAI, you understand it, right? So if I'm at the Bank of Ireland and I want to cross the road towards Navaney Car Park at that cross, who's got the right of way and when do I cross safely on that?
What you do is with all crossings everywhere, you walk up, you stand there, you indicate to the driver, that you let them know they see you. The same as you do at a Pelican crossing. Nobody's to walk out in front of a Pelican crossing.
I stand there and I look over my right shoulder, check down Glenfinn Road. If there's a car coming, I put my hand out. There's an Arctic coming down from Donegal Town. I wait till he stops and then I'm looking over to my left and making sure
and
no one... And then I cross. I have to wait till all vehicles are stationary on the three.
Absolutely. And look, I'm not supporting that. I was forced to ask for it to be moved. Well, they have agreed they will move it. It needs to be moved. There has been no... I can be corrected. I'm not in Balfour. I'm only speaking to engineers. There has been no accidents at the Bank of Ireland corner since them crossings were done. There's been accidents in Balfour near them junctions. Near them junctions. I would say 2/3 of the people crossing the streets in Balfour are crossing, just walking straight out in front of cars. They're not using any crossings, either the traffic lights in McInerney's, the ones that start, they're just walking straight out on the phones. These are where the accidents is happening, the same as everywhere else. But the one nobody supports along the Bank of Ireland has to be moved. My understanding,
but you understand when the signs, like, I mean, you know, like they could have lifted it and not put signs up there if they were committed.
This is a national thing. They're looking at Dublin, Cork, looking at all the towns and why we were left with no signs. I don't know. Asked that 100 times, and they're just saying, look, it's pilot schemes. They shouldn't do. Actually, signs are very good. The big red and white poles. But they need to put a sign on either side of them because you'll see them further away.
Yeah.
And they need to hurry up and move to one of the bank areas. Even though nobody has been, there's been no accidents, been a lot of people scared and watching and that. We just need to slow down and be careful. And drivers need to be careful because people have the right of way in towns, whether it's signs or not.
So if I'm standing, if I'm standing at that crossing, motorists are obliged to stop to give me the right of way to cross.
Absolutely, 100%. At all these crossings now, they say that they're called courtesy crossings because the same thing, God help anyone that knocks a pedestrian down crossing a road in any town, you will get the high jump.
Because you say
supposed to be driving due in care.
You say those two towns, and all towns, but Ballybofey and all, you're saying effectively they're pedestrian first towns with drivers.
Yes.
Second.
If they look at the law, the rules of the road now, if you knock someone, a pedestrian, down in a town, you are in serious trouble. Like, I spoke to someone there yesterday and I just come back from Paris after the Olympics and they're telling me one big, massive change, and it's happening in Kilkenny, Dublin, everywhere. They're all being given back to pedestrians. Pedestrians are getting the right of way, and the towns are given back. Obviously, we have traffic issues, a lot of traffic. We need the bypass and that. But all towns, whether it's small towns, Creasla, Fulcara, anywhere, the towns now, trying to give them back, but they need some kind of a signage. We would have asked for the flashing lights, but we're told they're getting these signs. But if they would make it uniform, if every town and every county were the same, all the drivers would know. They'd be looking out for these signage. But what's there at the moment is interim. The plan is still to move the one at the Bank of Ireland and to look at the rest and to raise them as well. Remember, that was proposed, that they would actually raise up them crossings so they'd be very, very obvious. Like you see in other towns, they're raised up, their speed cushions, they call them. You actually walk across them. So these will be welcome. And they will be coming out to public consult. Once they're finished now with their surveys, they'll be coming out sometime this year now to redesign the thing, have public consultation with the public and the businesses, the Gardaí and everybody else, and then move on to hopefully it'll be a lot better and a lot safer and a lot clearer too.
Yeah, I just still feel that we're guinea pigs up here. But
we
anyway,
are. We are.
And also,
some teams were left to last. This time we were brought forward, but.
That's true. We can't have it both ways, I suppose. All right. You can understand people's cynicism, though, as it relates to, absolutely, you know, putting infrastructure in around this. But
mine started last year and have been fighting it ever since. But like, we are making progress, and we will be, all of the councillors, we will all be watching them. It is the TIA and the National Roads Authority in Dublin, not us. But we will be holding them to account.
Yeah, because, I mean, the experiment's still ongoing because there's going to be a conflict study to be carried out following the relining and erection of these signs. So they're still studying it. All right, Councillor, thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
No,
Councillor Patrick McGowan of Fianna Fáil there. Right, Councillor Ali Farron is the PRO of the 100% Redress Party, and he's on the show now. Good morning to you, Ali.
How are you, Greg?
Good to have you on. Right, I mean, we don't know when the election's going to be, right, but... the 100% Redress Party are in the starting blocks here, preparing for what seems inevitable, perhaps a general election not far off after the budget.
Yeah, well, look, we're a young party, and this is all part of doing the groundwork, putting in the foundations. This time last year, we hadn't a party as such, and we've been working constantly, so... What we're looking to do now is put in, get more grassroots, you know, get more people in different areas, get them on board, get them wanting to work with us and for us, so that we can work for them. So, yes, that's why we're having a kind of a... We had one or two, we had one meeting in Milford, and we had a good turnout, relatively, you know, with a... so we're having two more now next week, one in Bunkrana, a youth club, and one in Villa Rose. They're both at 7:30. Bunkrana's Monday and Villa Rose is the Tuesday. So we're looking for people to come out that, you know, that can give us a hand. Like, the Redress Party is the voice, or we're trying to be the voice for all defective concrete block homeowners, something that they probably didn't have beforehand. Like, we have no history. We're just defective homeowners, and we want to be the voice. But like, we need help to be. You know, we're going to fight an election.
There's a reality of listen. In terms of the council elections, I mean, anyone with any political background will concede you did amazing there. A general election's a different animal here, because you're covering a large geographical space. The person might be local to a particular area, but seeking to pull votes from another area. You're up against party machines, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, Sinn Féin, etc. That requires feet on the ground. That requires people to get involved that aren't currently involved. That's just I'm not here doing your work for you, Ali, but I mean, that's
you're doing it very well.
That's the reality of it, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, a general election campaign is a different animal altogether.
Well, just give you my example. Like, I had 6,600 houses to canvass for my election. Well, you can multiply that now by 7, and whoever we're running, it's not possible for an individual candidate to get around all the areas from Malinhead to West Donegal to the South Donegal. So, big area to cover, and we're looking for foot soldiers, for want of a better word, people who's willing to, even if it's only canvass their own house and estate, or maybe they're not interested in canvassing, maybe they'll help us organise people to do that, and maybe they'll organise for marketing. Look, you know, the big parties have lots of people employed doing this that are paid. We're not at that stage yet. We don't even have an official office. Like, every one of the councillors and the committee behind us are all doing their best. We're a group of 15 at the moment. So we're looking to extend our membership. We're also looking to build. That's basically it.
Obviously... us as humans, if we're not directly affected by something, we can have sympathy, right? But we're not necessarily as motivated. So, I mean, whomever is standing, you wouldn't categorise them, would you, as a single issue candidate? I mean, obviously, primarily, principally, advocating for 100% redress, but presumably that's not the only show in town.
Of course it's not, but the word redress means to repair and to fix. And you only have to look around Donegal, and even listening to your show on a regular basis, do you see the amount of things that needs to be fixed? But you need to get a voice to do that. And again, a lot of the political parties have to toe the political party line. We want to be a national party, but unfortunately at the moment we're predominantly a Donegal party. And, you know, if the people of Donegal want a wee bit of a change and they want people that they can trust, maybe they might be considering joining the 100% Redress Party. And like, we have members even within our committee who are not defective homeowners. They're people who are sympathetic. They're people who know what it's like. You know, they have friends and family that are so...
Right.
Yes, we're okay. Open for everybody.
Monday, 2nd of September, which is next Monday, 7:30 p.m, Buncrana Youth Club, Castle Avenue, Buncrana. Tuesday, 3rd of September, Villa Rose Hotel, Bala Buffet. Now, I don't... like. I'm not saying people should support you guys, but we need to start getting involved. Sitting on our hands and half of us not voting is getting us nowhere. So if it's 100% redress, or it could be any other bloody party, get involved. Let's see if it changes. If it doesn't change anything, stop voting again. But we really seriously need to start taking control up for ourselves, because everyone's talking about freedom of speech and democracy and the threat to it. We can say what we like and we can vote which way we like, but half of us don't. So, as I say, whether it's for the 100% Redress Party or for whomever it is, you know, give democracy a chance as much as it is, and see if it makes a difference or not.
Well, social media isn't the end, be all and end all, and people have a very strong opinion on social media. So it's important that they can, that they have a vote and that they use it. And, you know, again, if you aren't registered to vote, you know, it's a very easy thing. Go on the Donegal website, you can register to vote. Very, very easy. And, you know, have your say at the next election, whenever that will be.
Slánga Fáil, thank you very much for your time. Councillor Ali Farran there. Just to let you know before we go that we are heading towards another £2,500 to be given away. £2,500. Yep, that's on this Friday. And it's part of the Mega Summer Draw. €20,000 in cash to be won. We've already given away 5,000 of that. There's two more £2,500 and a €10,000 cash prize. So there are three draws worth €15,000 for you to be in. Get onto our website, highlandradio.com. You can buy your ticket there just to make sure you're in for this Friday's £2,500. Anyone who already bought a ticket, they're in as well, of course. So click on the Mega Summer Draw, buy your tickets there, and you could be the winner on Friday. It's very exciting. I think that's on the, I don't know what show that is. Is it Drive Time Show? Yeah, it's on the Jive Time Show. So you can go onto our website, get your tickets, or give us a call here now on 07491 25000. We can sort you out as well if you want to. It's completely up to you. There's no obligation to do so. All right, that was Monday's 9 till noon show. Thank you very much to all of you who listened to the programme. We'll be back with you tomorrow morning from 9 a.m. But for me, Greg Hughes, and the team, have a good day. Be careful on the roads, by the way. There's going to be a lot of water on the roads this evening. So if you're travelling to the airport or anything overnight, please just be extra, extra careful, because, you know, you could get caught out, and we wouldn't want that. So be really careful on the roads for the next couple of days as the heavy rain is due. All right. Chat to you soon.